Today we're on Daf. Today's Daf Nun Hey. We're on the bottom of Nun Dalid. So yesterday, basically, we brought down the Shita of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said when we talk about the word Ad, until, it's Ad v'lo Ad v'chlal. It doesn't include that number. So we say up to 50, it doesn't include 50. So now the Gemara is going to be asking questions on the Shita of Rav Nachman of Ad v'ad v'chlal. So, just the background for everybody who's not here getting coffee. just say that background rules are as follows. A kli cheres, an earthenware utensil, is not mikabel tuma unless it has a receptacle, unless it has something that can accept inuit food or liquid. Now, after a kli cheres becomes tamei, there's no way to make a tar. It doesn't go into a mikvah. It can't go into a mikvah. The only way to make a tar is to break it. When you break it, it leaves its tefillah. However, the pasuk says v'chol kli cheres. So, from the words v'chol kli cheres, the Chacham made a drasha in the Torah's Kohanim and Shmini that even the shards of the kli cheres can be mekabel tuma if they still can be used for the usage that the kli that they broke off from were used for. So, if they can still accept, if a cup is supposed to collect water, and the shard is still curved in such a way that it can hold water. The question is, what shear? What's the shear? So the Mishnayis that we're going to bring now, it's from the second parak of Kalim, they talk about, they discuss, how much liquid can these shards of Kli Cheres, how much liquid do these shards of Kli Cheres need to hold in order for them to be considered Mekabel Tuma? And the Mishnah is going to make different lists because depending on how large the initial Kli was, that depends how large the shard has to be in order to maintain the status of the Tuma. So Tashma, let's bring a raya about the Lashon of Ad, that the Lashon of Ad means inclusive. Ad b'chlav, Lashon of Ad is inclusive. So Hadakin Shevi Kli Cheres, which means the smallest Kli Cheres. Hain, they are Mekabel Tuma. Nen, Vikarko Sehen, their shards. Vidifino Sehem, and their walls. Yoshvin Shlomo Sumachim, if they are large enough that they can stand, without, I don't know what that means, they can stand somehow, we don't have to prop them up, but they're large enough about that, v'shi'uron, and they can contain within them, b'chdei sichas katan, enough oil that you would use to, rub onto a small limb of a one-day-old baby, v'adlog, so that means like this, if you have a kli that holds a log, it holds a log of shemen. It has a kli that holds a log. It breaks. Now you want to see if the shards are now tahor or still maintain their tumma. If the initial kli held a log, and the shard holds enough to be to anoint a katan with oil, that small amount of oil, whatever that is still going to be tame.
So there's no correlation between the size. Before and after,
of course, we're making up a proportion. If it's the size of a log, then if the shard can hold the size of sichas katan, it maintains its tumah status. So the Gemara says that it's up to a log, meaning anything above a log, then if it breaks, needs a larger shear than sichas katan. So my lav log kilamata. You see from here that the log is considered like the lower part, it's ad v'ad v'chlal, and therefore if it reaches an actual log, if the kli the size of a log breaks, it only needs k'dei sichas katan. Anything above a log, we're not, meaning that log is included. So that's a question of Rav Nachman, who he says ad v'ad v'chlal, and if a log should be considered higher on the next. So Gemara says, no, log is kilamala. Log equals kilamala, log, it's ad v'ad v'chlal. When you reach a log, you get into the next stage. The Gemara is going to ask a few questions from the set of Mishnayos, and we're going to answer the same way. So I'm not sure why the Gemara keeps bringing the same thing. So Tashma. The next, milog va'atza. If the size of the initial kli, cheres, can hold from a log to a sa, right? So then, if it breaks, what size shard maintains the tumah? That's the revius. If that shard can hold a revius, it maintains the tuma. So you see from a log up to a saw. Now, does up to a saw mean inclusive of a saw or not inclusive of a saw? So we see over here, my love, saw kilamata, that the saw is inclusive. Meaning, even if it's a saw, it's still going to be it's even if it's a saw, it's still going to be the shard of a saw. It's still going to be metame if it's a revius. So he sets a question to Rav Nachman, who says now we're saying adva b'chal, and Rav Nachman says adva lo b'chal. The Gemara says no again lo saw kilamala. The din of the saw don't read that way. Saw is lamala. If it's a saw, if it becomes a saw, then it's no. Then the shard has to be larger than a revius to hold it, maintain a revius. Gemara says okay. Tashma the next. Me saw the atzosayim from one saw to two saws, right? To two sawim, right? Bechatzi log. So then it has to maintain a chatzi log, which is a smaller number, right? All right. So my law again, my law is sasayim klamata. So don't you think that doesn't mean sasayim klamata? Meaning that you see from here that sasayim is included in the number that we're talking about. No, lo sasayim klamala. Sasayim is klamala. When you hit sasayim, you go into the next one. It's ad v'lo ad v'chlal. So the Gemara says, okay. So vatanya, how are you answering the Mishnah this way? Vatanya, we have a brisa. Lo kilamata, sa'a kilamata, sasayim kilamata. Which means what? That the log. The log is not included. Meaning the log, when you hit the log.
Even sasayim is the same thing.
Sorry, second. Log kilamata, saw kilamata, sasayim kilamata. So let's just do one. It's all the same halacha. So the smaller shear. So if you had a kli that when it was complete, it can maintain a log. So the din is, that's considered the same thing as a kli that can maintain. Right, so that's a question of Nachman. It says clear in the, it says clearly in the Brisa that we're maintain, that log is considered lower, right. And saw is considered lower, and so sign is considered lower, meaning it's included in the shear, which is ad b'chlal. So how can you, Rav Nachman, maintain that it's kilamala? It's clearly kilamata. The Brisa explains the Mishnah. So Gemara says no, hasam l'chumra. It's a difference. So it's not. I think the Gemara is going back on the answers. The Gemara is basically going to say now is that we don't. It's not a general klal of ad b'chlal, ad lo b'chlal. It depends on the situation. Does being inclusive, which one makes it a chumra? We're going to be we want to be machmir. So he says hasam l'chumra. So the reason why we're saying avya b'chlal by these cases of the shards, by the cases of the kelim and the shards, is because we want to be machmir. Because if we say, let's say you have the case of the log, so if the kli is the size of a log, then its shards have to the shards will become maintain tumma on a log with a smaller amount. But if I say log ad lo b'chlal, therefore I'm putting log on the higher level, so then its shard will only become tameh if it has a larger remainder. So therefore it becomes a chumrah, and for a chumrah we're going to say ad b'chlal. And even Rav Nachman is going to agree with that. And how do we know that? The Amar Rabbi Bo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, there's Rabbi Bo says to Rabbi Yochanan, kol shiurei chachamim, when it comes to all the shiurim that the chachamim gave, right? Right, Rashi says shiur chachamim. There's no Rashi. Right? Oh, there is. Kol shiur shel chachamim. It's like halfway in short lines. I mitzumtzam chumrahu sharinam b'mitzumtzam. I mitzumtzam kulahu sharinam b'shochak. If being exact is a chumrah, we view them as an exact. If it's not, if exact is a kulah, we view them as not being exact. So everything is l'chumrah. Chutz mi kigrishal kasamim lahakel. Except the size of a gris, which is the size of a kesem of a woman. If a woman has a stain, that we are nekel. Rashi says, shanino benida, daharoa kesem shol dam bibigda kigris. If you see a stain of blood on her clothing, the size of a gris, which we would say like a penny size or something like that, right? It's tameh. We say tameh, dimafsikinon lo b'dam nida, because we have a suffix, maybe that was dam nida. So therefore, if it's exactly a gris, according to what we're saying, if it's exactly a gris, that should be considered tameh. The halacha is, it has to be larger than a gris. If it's a gris itself, we say it's something else. Behind the lahakel, so we're makel for the actual size of the gris. The afagav the gris shiro, right? The reason over there is because the whole concept, the whole Rashi said the whole concept of kesamim is derabbanan to begin with. In order to be nidam midaraisa, you have to feel hargasha. You have other things. So just a stain by itself, without the hargasha, is really a derabbanan. So then we're going to be makel. So if it's the exact amount, we're going to say consider it lower. But any other time when it's l'chumra, we're going to exact amount, we're going to make it l'chumra. Dekanami, and you should also be lashon from, I guess the whole thing started with the rope case from yesterday, right? They had that, it was with the rope, right? That was the case yesterday. The question with the rope, you had a chevel that was coming, a rope coming out of the bed, so up to 5 tvachim was considered tame, it was considered tahor, because it's not useful, but okay, so the Gemara then says, Diktani Allah, chamisha kilamala, asara kilamata. Over there, the Brisa says that 5 is considered like it's longer than 5, therefore it becomes tame. We're going to the Kumra, and asara kilamata. And asara is going to be like the lower, which means it makes it less, which also means it becomes tame. In other words, we're not being consistent. Our consistency is, whatever the Chumra, that's what we're taking. But this Mishnah here is not a raya one way or another for Adva B'chav or Adva B'chav. We're going to use that rule when it's L'chumra. If it's Adva B'chav L'chumra, we'll use it. Adva Adva B'chav L'chumra, that's how we're going to use it. Okay, back to Chulin. Okay. Nital Hatchol. Okay, so this is one of the things that were mentioned in our Mishnah that do not make something a treifa. What was number one? What was this one, I guess? Nital Hatchol. Chol is the liver, right?
Spleen.
The spleen, sorry, correct. Nital Hatchol. So if the spleen is completely removed, then it's fine. The behemoth is fine. Amar Rav Avira. Now this is one we remember mentioned way back. You said that there was 18 listed, but then we had more. There was the Shemaisa. There were seven statements of the Amorayim. So this is one of those seven statements. Amar Rav Yeramish made the Rava. Lo Shano El Nital. That's only if the spleen is completely removed. Aval Nikev, but if it has a puncture through, Aval Nikev Treifa, it becomes a Treifa. So it's interesting. If the spleen is removed, it's fine. But if it's punctured, it's a Treifa. I guess if the spleen is removed, I guess if it's a puncture, maybe things are coming in and causing it to, I don't know. All right. So Masi Rav Yossi Bar Avin, the Itame of Rav Yossi Bar Zavida. So I have a question from a Rav Yossi as follows. So we know the halacha is when it comes to a animal that is pregnant, if you shecht the mother, and the baby is completely inside at the time of the shechita, that baby is kosher, it's going to be eaten. It's no din of Avram and Achai. Technically, it doesn't even need shechita. Right. It's going to work uber yerech imo, because right, they learn it out, because the pasuk says, the chol behemah mafreses parsa, v'shur asesha, shtei parsos mazgir behemah, osa tochelu. So from the word v'chol behemah, v'hemah tochelu, they said that every part of the hemah, of the animal that's inside, is mutter b'achilu but the shechita. So that's why everything inside. Okay, so choteich, what happens? You have the Mishnah, there's a Mishnah on Daf Samaches, choteich me'ubor sheve me'er mutar ba'achila. So if you, I guess, shecht the mother, there's an uber inside, and now there's the uber walking around, you cut off a piece of the uber and you eat it, it's not a problem with Avram and Achai, because it's considered already shecht, it's considered not a problem with Avram and Achai, because the shechita of the animal, of the mother, remove the Isra of Avram and Achai from everything that's inside.
Right.
Now, however, if the tchol or the klayos, if the spleen or the kidneys were removed, I think from the mother, prior to the shechita, so then asur ba'achila. So then the ubar is asur ba'achila, seems to be, because, right, Rashi says,
and even if it remains inside, the animal at the time of slaughter also bakila.
What remains inside?
The, the spleen.
Right. So we're saying if the spleen, let's say pre-shechita of the mother, the spleen is removed or the kidneys are removed, and then you shecht the behema, so then the asur bakila means the ubar is now asur b'achila. Why? Right, that's asur b'achila. Rashi says, min hatchol min hakloy shol behema inechtach mehem, if some piece is missing from it, afal pishalo hotzia chaticha misocha, even though you don't remove it, asur b'achila mishum evim renachai. Okay, it's the whole, I think that means that the...
Now it's an evim
renachai. Yes. So the Gemara says, What's the deal that they're making? What becomes usur if the tchol or the kloyos are missing? That is the ubar ha behema gufasharia, but the behema itself would be kosher apparently after it's shechted. So therefore, you see that a behemoth that's missing from the spleen doesn't become a trefa. Right? We just said, Rabbi Bira said, that the only time that the spleen is not doesn't trefa the animal is if the spleen is completely missing. But if there's a piece is missing, right? If there's a puncture, the piece is missing. The piece is missing, then it would be a trefa. Here we're just supporting the mission that says if the spleen is missing a piece, the only thing that's not allowed to be eaten is the ubar. The inference being that the animal is allowed to be eaten. So you see that just because it's missing a piece of the spleen doesn't make it a trefa, which goes against Rabbi Vira. So the Gemara says, no, hu adin dafilu behema nami asira. Even the animal, don't make that diyuk, even the animal itself would be asir, but aidi, the tana reisha, mutar b'achila, tana nami sefer asir b'achila. No, but we're just talking, why did I say mutar b'achila and asir b'achila? Because the focus of the Mishnayos there are talking about the ubar. So for consistency purposes, we say one place is mutar, one place is asir. But the focus isn't on the behema, the focus is going to be on the ubar, so don't make that diyuk. And the vice ema, no, nikov l'chud, nektach l'chud. Or you can say, no, there's a difference between a puncture wound and piece that is missing. When it comes to a piece that is missing, that's not a big deal. It's completely sliced off. And therefore, that would make the animals maintain its kosher status. If a puncture, there's a puncture in the spleen that goes through and through, that's where Ravira says the animal is treif. Make a distinction between a puncture and a partially removed. Okay. Nitlu hakloyos. So if the kidneys, right? Kloyos are the kidneys, right? If the kidneys are removed, then we said what? We said that it's fine, right? So Amar Rachish Bar Papa Mishmei Derav Lokta Bekulya Achad Trefa. So I don't know what Lokta means, right? Rashi says he's going Malya Mugla. It's filled with pus. I'm not sure how he translates. All right, then he translates it. So if one of the kidneys becomes diseased, it's a trefa. Abu Barava and an Eretz Yisrael said that what Rachi said his rules, that's the mate likuta limakom hacharitz. That's only if the disease came out to the charitz, which is a certain place in the kidney, I guess, where there's something that comes, that we're asked, the hecha makom charitz. What's the makom charitz? It's lechivara de tuti masne. There's some white pipe, I think, that comes out of the kidney. If the disease reaches from the into that white pipe, that's going to make it into a trefa. We have the pictures over there. I guess this is white pipe that connects into the kidneys into the bladder, maybe? I don't know. Where the urine goes through?
I don't know. The arteries
of the veins. So I'm not sure. That's what's going to make it into a... So that makes it a trefa. Amar Rav Nechunya, Sha'al Tindu L'Kula Trufi D'Marava. I asked all the trefa experts in Eretz Yisrael, but Amar Li Hilchasa, and they told me, Hilchasa Kirachish Bar Papa. The halacha is like Rachish Bar Papa, that if the kidneys are diseased, that makes the behemoth trefa. I mean, if the kidneys are missing, it's not a trefa. If the kidneys are diseased, it makes the kidney a trefa. The less Hilchasa Kiravavira. But the halacha is not like Ravavira. Ravavira was the one who said that there's a puncture in the spleen, that makes it trefa. We don't pass it like that. The Ravavira Nami Lo Amaron. And when do we say the halacha is not like Ravavira, meaning that a puncture is trefa? When do we say that it's not treif? I mean, when would we hold like a revere that a puncture is treif? Lo amaron ella bikulshe, only when it, in the narrow spot, right? Aval bismuche, in the thicker part of the spleen, which apparently is the top, then a puncture would make a treif, but we would hold like a revere. V'i ishtarye beka ovedinazar of kshera. Now, if the spleen is removed, and there's, I guess maybe, I don't know what this means, ishtarye be in the spleen, the size of a thickness of a dinar, right, then, I guess if that closes the puncture, then that's kosher. I'm not sure.
Even if the puncture was in the thick end,
if it's in the thick end, where we said that we'll hold up a review that the puncture makes a treif,
the thickness of a dinar remained intact,
of a thickness, so if the puncture didn't go all the way through, I guess. There's a little bit of a dinar left on the other end, it's kosher. Okay. Amri Bar Marava, so they said in Eretz Yisrael, kol haposel bereya, anything that would happen in the lung that would make the animal a trefa, nevertheless, kosher bekulia. If that same thing happened in the kidneys, it would be kosher. Sure, a nekev, if you have a puncture, I guess, posel bereya, that makes the reya posel, be kosher bekulia, but it's kosher, the kidneys are fine. The kosher cane, hecha the kosher bereya, if there's a pekam that if there's a pekam that nevertheless the lungs must maintain, which if there's a pekam in the lungs and nevertheless the animal still still not treifa, that's going to be kosher with kulia. If it's kosher, it happens in the lung, it's going to be kosher if it happens in the kidneys. The masi pelav Rabbi Tanchuma is becholahu. Is that really a good rule, right? Vahare mugla. So we have this mugla, which is a cyst or it's a pus or something. This idea of this mugla, the kosher bereya. If you find that in the lung, it's kosher, I guess. But pasul bechulia. If you find the same thing in the kidney, that would be making a treif. But you just said that if it's kosher in the lung, it will be kosher in the kidney. Here it's kosher in the lung and pasul in the kidney. So Gemara said, and the Gemara asks more. Vahare, we learned mayim zakin. So I guess you have these. Maybe it's in the wound. It's clear water. It's clear liquid that are found inside. The k'sheim hacha v'hacha, that it's kosher. In both cases, Rashi says, "What's the question? Lo yadana my kushya. What's going on here? I don't know what the question is. That fits the rule. If it's kosher one, it's kosher in the other. Right? We said if it's kosher in the lungs, it's kosher in the kidney. So what's the question here? So Rashi says, I don't know what the kashya is. Tosos try to give out what the question is. I don't understand what Tosos is saying. Maybe he has it in the English down there. But okay, so leave it. Rashi says, lo yadana my kushya. It's the first short line. A lot of musar in that. You know, sometimes you don't know. Rashi admits also sometimes he doesn't know. Right? We don't know everything. He says, El Amr of Ashi, so the question is on the first case. The question is about the mugla. The mugla makes the lung, in the lung is kosher, but in the kidney is treif, which goes against the rule that you just said. So Gemara says, no, El Amr of Ashi, treifos kamadamis ladadi. You can't compare treifos from one place to another place. Forget that. Ein omrim treifos zo dom lazo. You can't compare. Everything is different. Right? It brings the case. Umesa, you cut the animal in one part of the leg, it lives, one part of the leg, it dies. It's different. Everything is different. You can't compare one to the other. So now the Gemara goes back, umayim zakin, where it said this clear water that we said in the kidney. If you have this clear water in the kidney, it's kosher. Lo amar ella ditzili. I guess that's only if it's really clear, right? Avalakiri, if it's a little cloudy, then it's treifa. V'chitzili, when it's clear, nami lo amar ella delo sirich. Aval sirich treifa. And we said it's clear. It's not. It's kosher. That's only if it doesn't smell. But if it smells, then it's, I don't know, smells like what? Then it's treifa. Okay. Now, hakulya, so again, I guess we're back by the kidneys, right? Mm-hmm. So the kulya, one kulya, shehiktina, it got it shrunk. Okay, the kulya shrunk, all right? Bidaka, in a behemadaka, it shrunk to the size, ad kipul, until the size of a bean. And bigasa, and by daka's a small, sorry, daka's the smaller animals. Ubigasa, if it shrunk to the size of the anava benonis, the mid-sized grape. Therefore what? Akulya, that would shrunk to the size of the pool, or it shrunk to the size of the grape, that makes it into a treifa, I guess. Okay, that's a treifa. Okay. Next, so now the next is a little bit in the next two lines, three lines are in parentheses. So machlokas, we're showing him whether or not this is actually words of the Gemara, or this is inserted by the Gaonim. Bottom line, it's here, we'll read it. Nita lechi atachton. The Mishnah said that if the lower jaw is removed, the behemoth is still a treifa. So Amir Rabbi Zeira, lo shanu ela she yechol lachios le'ita v'ham ra'a. Aval en yechol lachios al yedei le'ita v'ham ra'a treifa. So guys, the animal's lower jaw is taken out, still has to be able to eat. Now granted, it can't chew on its own, but can you stuff it in? Can you push it in and he'll swallow? One's leita, one's hamrara. I'm not sure what the difference is. One is to one might be deeper than the other, but it needs to be able to at least to eat and to swallow to survive. Because if it removes the lower jaw and now it refuses or can't eat, even if it's being force fed, then it's going to be a treifa because it's going to die. Okay, nitla ha'im shela. We said that if the womb was removed from the animal, the behemoth is not considered a treifa. So Tana, the Brisa teaches us that the womb has three different, is called different things in different places. Hi ha'im, right? Hi tarpachas, hi shalpuchis. So the Mishnah here calls it the aim. We're going to learn on Daf Nunvav that they call it the tarpachas, and on Daf Memches we call it the shalpuchis. They're all the same things. It's going to be the womb. Because someone brought down here that the shalpuchis is the bladder. If that's the bladder, then I don't say what the Gemara is. What? Right, I'm saying someone brought down. I said it's exactly what the Gemara says, but there was a Mefarshim that brought down that the shalpuchis means the bladder. Now I know the bladder is near the womb, But if you say that the tarpuch is the bladder, I'm not sure what the point of the statement of the brice is, because it's not he, it's something totally different. Okay. Then we said that if the lungs dry up, like a palm tree, right, if it's charusa b'dei shemayim, then it's kshera. If it dried up, right, I guess from the from something happened from the heavens, it's kosher. Or something dried up because some sort of noise, right, that happened, like some noise caused it to shrivel up, I'm not sure. So ezehi charusa, what's considered charusa? Kol shetzamka reya shala. That's what we just said, anything that the lung dries up. Right, so b'dei shemayim kshera. If it dried up because of something, b'dei shemayim, that's kosher. Rachis b'dei shemayim, mikol barad viram, from hail or thunder. But b'dei adam, if it dried up because of b'dei adam, Rashi says, shehiv isa adam, that he was scared by a human, lo hajra bari, then the lung's not gonna heal. So then it's a trefa. From Shimon ben Elazar omer, af b'dei kol brios, even if it dried up from all creations, all other things. So Mar asks, well, what's Rav Shimon going on? Is he going on the Resha, which says b'dei shemayim and even other brios, and therefore that would be kosher? Or is it going on the Seifa, where we say that if it's dried up by humans, and it's trefa, and if it's dried up by animals as well, it's also trefa. So the Rashi says, "Oybailu, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Resha kai v'lekula, or a Seifa kai l'chumra." Which way is he going? So Tashma, we learned in the Brisa, the Tanya, the Brisa says, "Charusa," which I guess means again, it dried up. B'dei adam trefa, if it's dried up, done because of human, it's trefa. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer. Doesn't necessarily want to be a human, but any live animal that causes the other animal's lung to dry up, that makes it a trefa. Also, you see that Rav Shimon was going on the Seifa and is le chumra. Okay. Rabbi Barachana have a ka'azal b'midbara. Rabbi Barachana was walking in the desert. Maybe this is one of the Rabbi Barachana stories in Baba Basra, you know, the juggler and the king. There's wild stories that you have of Rabbi Barachana. But so Ashkach Hanu Dichri, he found these rams. Right, these Abrahams, did Samik Reya Didhu, that their lungs were dried out. But I guess he didn't, he shechted it and they found that they were dried out. So I guess he now wants to know, are they kosher or not? Because if they were dried out with the Shemayim, they're kosher. If they're dried out with the Adam, then they're treif. So Asa Shalbe Midrasha, so they asked the base measures, what should I do? So Amrule, they gave him a test. The Amrule, they said to him, you can test it. Big Kaita. If you're in the summer, I say mishkili chivari, bring these, I guess, big white vessels, umalinu mayi kariri, and fill them with cold water, va'anchihu, and put in the kli, the lungs, me'es le'es, for a 24-hour period, I hadron brayon, b'dei shemayim hi v'ksheira. I guess if the lungs, I guess, reinflate, then you see that the fact that they shriveled up was only b'dei shemayim, and therefore they're kosher. V'ilo, and if they don't reinflate, then it was happy b'dei adam, and therefore the animal was a trefa. And b'sisva, if you're in the winter, I see mashkili shchumi, then bring a black pot, umalino maya pishori, and put lukewarm water in there, vanichiyu, and put it in there, me'es le'es, for 24-hour periods, ihajabari kshera ilo, trefa. If they reinflate, it's kosher. If it doesn't reinflate, it's trefa. Okay, I'll leave it at that. Okay. Not even medicine, it's a test. The animal's dead. We're taking lungs out of a dead animal and putting it in. We're taking shriveled up lungs. Okay. The next thing the Mishnah said, that an animal that had this, suffered from this ailment, is stuck to the trefa, is gluta, which I think means it's skin. Like how's he translated? It's totally flayed. How's that lit? Okay, it's flayed. Okay, so Meir says it's kosher, and the Chacham say that the gluta is pasul. So Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa, hagluta, this flayed animal, Rabbi Meir Machshir, Rabbi Meir says it's kosher to eat. The Chum posts it. The Chum says it's possible. The Kvar, I guess you can't eat it. The Kvar heid alazar safra v'yochman ben gudgada agluda. They testified shepsula, that they are possible. They had that testimony, I guess. They had mesora. And Amr of Shimon alazar chazav Rav Meir, that Rav Meir retracted from his words. Rav Meir just said that the flayed animal was kosher, and now he retracted and he said that it's usher. So the Gemara says, Michlal, from the fact that you see that Rav Shimon ben Elazar told us that Rav Meir was Choser, it's mashma de l'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar polig Rav Meir begluda. It's mashma that he argued on Rav Shimon ben the coin of Shimon ben Elazar, Rav Meir and the Chum had a machlokus regarding gluda. Well, our Mishnah says they have a machlokus regarding gluda. But Tanya, we don't have a brisa that says that how does Rav Shimon hold that there was a machlokas? Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar lo nechlu Rav Meir v'chamim al aguda shapsula. There was no machlokas in Rav Meir v'chamim by the flayed animal. B'kvar hei Rav Osho ben Osho Rav Yehuda ha-basam lefnei Rav Akiva mishum Rav Tarfon al aguda shapsula. The mishtayer both sell a kshayer, but if there's a little bit of skin left over, then it's kosher. We see from here that Rav Shimon ben Elazar said Rav Meir v'chamim would never argue. So how does Rav Shimon ben Elazar say that Rav Meir was choser? Well, choser from what? According to you, he never argued. So Gemara answers, no. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, my lo nechaklu. What does it mean, lo nechaklu? Lo amar Rav Meir b'machlokoso. Yeah, the lo nechaklu now. he didn't maintain his shita, and now, after he retracted, there's no machlokas. But originally, like our Mishnah, there was a machlokas. Okay. So amar mar, the master taught us, im nishtayer bo kisela ksheira. Everyone now is holding that the flayed animal is trefa. However, if it's left over the skin, right, of the size of a sella, it's kosher. So Gemara says, Heicha, well, where does this sella's worth of skin have to be? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, al pnei hashidra kulo. Kulo, it has to be across the entire spine. So Gemara says, hey, wait, Ibailu, the arich v'katin, the chimit tsarif lei, that's a long space. Does that have to be this really, really thin amount of skin that goes across the spine, and in total, it equals a sella? O dilma, or do we say, Birochav sella pnei shidrakula, or do you need it to be the width of a sella the entire way across the spine? So tashma, so I'm going to bring a proof from this, tashma, the parish Rav Nohara mishmeid Shmuel, that Rav Nohara said the name of Shmuel, it's Birochav sella al pnei kola shidrakula. If you hold that, it has to be a sella's width the entire way down of the spine. Rav Barchana Amar, Roshe Prakim. It's enough if it's on its joints, right? Rashi says Roshe Prakim, which is Hashok v'Hayerech. It has to have Roshe Prakim. Rav Elazar ben Antignus, which is Rav Elazar, Rav Yane Amar, V'mochem Tiburo, basically the belly. It has to be from the belly area, it has to be. Machlokas and Rav Shonim, as to whether each of these shitas are arguing with each other. And if they're not that, but this, they're giving alternatives. It's either this or that, or they're being additive. It says not only that, but also this. So, I'm not sure. Okay. Boy, Rav Yane, Rav Shimon. Rav Yana Rav Shimon says, Nital b'mokom shidra v'kulo kayam. According to, right, so Rav Yana says, according to Shmuel, who says you have to have the skin on the entire length of the spine, what's the name of the hema of Nital, if the or is b'mokom shidra, if the skin is taken off from that spot, I mean the only place it's flayed is by the mokom shidra, and the rest of the animal has all of the skin on it, right? Or according to I guess the other one, nitam b'makom tiburo v'kulo kayam, or nital rosh parakim kulo kayam. My take, according to any of the shitas, you say that as long as it remains on that part, it makes it kosher. What if that's the only place that is removed and everything else is there? Is that going to make it treif or not? The Gemara loses teku, and I think it was a teku when we had these sveikos by treif, but we'll pass in the chumra. I don't know. Okay. So now, Amar Rav, Rav says differently, Kol ha'or kulo matzil begluda. Right? Every place where the or is, it doesn't matter where, if there's a little bit of the skin left over, that will save you from the status of a gluda, I guess he argues. Chutz mi or beis ha'prosos, except for skin that's on the lower leg. Okay? Rav Yochanan Omer, right? That's what he says? The hooves. Okay. Rav Yochanan Omer, afilu, or based on process nami matzel, even the skin on the cubs will also seal, will also save from being a gluda. Obali mine Rav Asi mi Rav Yochanan, or based on process mahu sheyatzel. What's the story with the skin on the hooves? Begluda amrele matzel, it saves it. Okay, so Mara says it saves it. Wait a second, you just said. So now he's asking on Rav Yochanan, who says that the or based on process is going to seal. So amrele, so Rav Asi then says to Rav Yochanan, I'm going to ask you on that. According to what you said, the or base haprosos is considered or, and therefore it saves it. Problem is the or and the base haprosos, it's not soft, it's on the bottom, it's on the hooves. So he says, but didn't you, Rav Yochanan, teach us, elu she'oroseyen kibsaron? There are certain parts of the animal where the skin is like the meat, it's like considered flesh, and therefore not considered skin. If it's not considered skin, it shouldn't save you from being a gluda. Elu she'oroseyen kibsaron, or beis haprosos, right? So you see the orb of the hooves is considered flesh, not considered skin, and therefore it should be saving from gluda. So Amalei, the Gemara says, al tach niteni, Don't ask me from that Mishnah. Shebeloshon Yochanan Nishona Osa. That Mishnah I taught was only. I was talking about one individual shita. That's only Yochanan. I don't hold that way. The Tanya, the following brisa that says Hashochet Esa Ola. So you shecht the korban Ola, right? And the problem is bring that towards Wachim. They had in mind Lahakir Kizais Mi Or Shel Tachas Ha'Alya Chutzlim Komo Pasul. He had in mind to put on the Mizbeach a kezias of the skin underneath the tail, chutzlim komo, then it's pasul. The able karis, but there's no karis, but that's chutzlim komo. But chutzlim mano, pigle b'chayiv karis. If it's chutzlim mano, you would pigle, and you would be chayiv karis. So you see that the makshava for the skin under the tail is considered, so the skin under the tail is considered flesh, considered meat. Right. However, Eliezer ben Yehuda ish iblim omer mishum Rabbi Yaakov, v'chein hayyar Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kfar ikum omer mishum Rabbi Shimon, echad or beis haprasos, echad or harosh shal harach, the echad or shal tachas haalya, the kol shemanu chachamim legabe tuma, elu she'or seim bibzaron. So these individuals said that. I'm not sure over here. So you have the or beis haprasos, which is the hooves. The or roshel egel arach, which means something, the skin of the head, and the or of a young calf, for or shel tachas aliyah, and the skin underneath the tail, and all other skins that the chachamim said are considered meat, and therefore they are like flesh. All those things, what does that include? That's lahavil or beis haboshes. That includes the flesh around the female genitalia area. Chutzlum komo pasul ve'emo karis chutzlum zmano pigel chayovim karis. All these things, if you had in mind, chutzlum komo chutzlum zmano, you make it pasul or you make it pigel. But you see from here that the or beis haprasos is, I guess, a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Yaakov and Rav Shimon. According to Tanakama, who just says stam, right? The Tanakama says, right, tachas alya doesn't include the or beis haprasos, so he argues it. So this whole idea of the or beis haprasos being considered flesh, that's only according to the shita of Rabbi Lezer ben Yehuda. It's only an individual shita. But Rabbi Yochanan, consider it skin, and therefore if it's considered skin, if it's left over there, it would save it from being a gluta. Okay, stop here, pick up tomorrow by the Mishnah.